Today, our fellow citizens, our way of life, our very freedom came under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly terrorist acts. None of us will ever forget this day. Yet we go forward to defend freedom and all that is good and just in our world. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Tim, and I'm your host with Leading with Sense. Again, this show is about military personal finance. What to do, when to do it, and how much to do. Personal finance, especially in the military, is something that is never won. It is only worked on. You will never quote-unquote win personal finance. It's kind of like golf or fitness or any other sport. You will never look in the mirror one day after going to the gym for a long time and see your six-pack and say, I'm done. I don't need to work out anymore. I don't have to work towards my fitness goals. Same thing with personal finance. You know, it's not based on the balance in your checking account. It is something that we work on day in and day out. Though it's something that can never be won entirely, we can set goals for ourselves to win certain stages within personal finance, which is what the money marching order is. It is goals and it's a roadmap to lead you through your military personal finance journey while leading you away from the crap that's out there in the marketplace today that can get you in trouble. Today, we're going to be going over one of the most foundational steps, I think, of personal finance, and it's more of a paradigm shift also, and that is debt payoff and debt avoidance. So in this step, money marching order number 3, debt assault and blended retirement system match. So we're going to work on paying off debt using the debt snowball. And we're also going to turn on our TSP contribution to 5% to get the blended retirement system match. So if you're listening to this and you are in the traditional high 3 system of the military, you will not be turning on a 5% contribution to your TSP. You'll actually be shutting off your retirement for now until we get you out of debt. So the first part of this is obviously the debt payoff. First of all, we have to understand what debt is and what it's not. So debt is something that is very normalized in the United States today. It is a product. Debt is a product. One more time. Debt is a product that credit card companies and lending institutions sell to you. It is something they spend millions and millions of dollars a year marketing to you, the consumer. There are so many mechanisms in the marketplace to drive you into consumer debt. Have you gone to Home Depot lately? Now, don't get me wrong. I love me some Home Depot, but whenever I check out, they always ask me, do you have a Home Depot credit card? And if not, would you like to open one today to save money on your purchase? And they always have a board behind the cash registers telling the employees how many credit cards is the goal and how many they've signed up that day. Same thing on Amazon when you go to checkout. Usually at the bottom of the screen, you will see your purchase price minus a dollar amount, showing you the new purchase price if you put it on a Amazon Prime credit card. So again, a lot of the purchases that you make daily, there are opportunities for you to open up a credit card or open up a line of credit with the store, giving you ample opportunities to go into debt. Car dealerships are some of the most notorious pushers of credit and debt. Car dealerships, they range from your new car lot advertising 0% for 60 months for quote-unquote well-qualified buyers, down to the predatory lots that will charge north of 20% interest on a piece of crap car. Which kind of brings me to my next point about cars. So cars are probably the largest purchase that we make in our lives over and over again throughout, 20, 30, 40 years of our lives that we're driving and buying cars. is also one of the biggest assets that we have with the biggest depreciation model. So over a five-year period, if we look at a brand new vehicle, everyone knows that it depreciates as soon as you drive it off the lot. But yet, a large portion of the United States drives brand new cars. Even if they're broke, they drive brand new cars. But a brand new car will depreciate about 40 to 60% in the first 5 years, depending on what model car it is and the condition over that five-year period. So if you paid $30,000 for a new car, you can expect the value to be about $15,000 to $18,000 after 5 years. So over 5 years, you've paid in $30,000 plus some taxes and fees at the dealership. And now you can only sell the asset for about $15,000 to $18,000. So if I asked you to invest in a stock where you were guaranteed, I would guarantee that you could only get half of your investment back, would you invest in it? Probably not. So looking at your cars, you know, this is why we don't want to buy a brand new car, because we don't want you to be in debt for more than your car is going to be worth. And then plus, we don't want you to take that large of a hit right off the bat. So this is why we want to buy cars in the 3 to 5 year old time frame. So someone else has already done a majority of the depreciation. And again, we want just to minimize the amount of depreciation that we are going to experience. A car is going to go down in value regardless. We just want to minimize how much money that we're going to lose on that car. So if we're looking at cars as a percentage of our world, I'm going to recommend that I don't want any single car in your inventory, in your household, to be more than 3 months of your pay. So that is 25% of your yearly pay. So if you make $100,000 combined family income, I don't want any one of your cars to be valued at over $25,000. So if you're a husband and wife or a married spouse and you have two cars, then each one should be maximum 25% of your pay. So going to the debt payoff model, how are we going to pay off our debt of what we have? So money marching order number three, debt assault, is going to utilize the debt snowball method. This is listing your debts from smallest principal amount to largest principal amount, regardless of interest rate. So then next we're going to take our budget and squeeze every dollar we can out of our budget. So again, we're working our way out of debt. So we're going to decrease our lifestyle and we're going to work on paying off our debt. So squeezing out every dollar we can, we're going to pay minimums on everything but the smallest debt. And then anything else we're going to throw at the smallest debt, trying to eliminate it as fast as we can. Once the smallest debt is eliminated, you then can take all of the money you were throwing at that debt and apply it to the next smallest debt on your list while paying minimums on the rest. And as you go, eventually you'll be paying down debt faster and knocking out the smaller debts very quickly while increasing the amount you're paying on each debt as each debt is eliminated. So one of the biggest holdups of getting out of debt, again, I covered it a little bit earlier, is those cars. Oftentimes we see people with car payments of $700 or $800, no joke. And that is a huge chunk of change to go towards while getting out of debt. It's hard to pay above that to get the debt gone. So again, if your car is way more than 3 months of your pay, I want you to downgrade in car. If your car is more than 25% of your yearly salary, I want you to consider downgrading in car. And again, this is combined income, you and your spouse. So if $100,000 is your combined income, then no car should be valued at more than $25,000. And that's the maximum again. So looking at your whole picture and you lay out your plan and you're not able to pay off the cars using the debt snowball within 2 years, I want you to downgrade in car. You can upgrade later. You can go get a car whenever you want. There's tons of them out there. So, but while you're getting out of debt, again, I want you to get out of debt as quickly as we can. That way we can get to the next step of building your emergency fund, the fully funded emergency fund known as your body armor. Again, your car is holding you back. Your financial progress is being held back by your stupid car. So as soon as you can get that car paid for or get rid of it and get something else, the sooner you can have freedom. I can't move you forward with that much of a burden on your finances. So again, cars are probably the biggest thing holding people back from financial success. Therefore, we need to assess how much we have in our cars and what else we can do to get ahead. Again, more than 25% of your yearly salary and you can't pay it off in less than 2 years, get rid of it. It's just a stupid car. So anyway, so listing debts smallest to largest based on principal of the loan. And I know some people are going to challenge this and say that you need to pay down debt based on the interest rate and not by the amount. So I've got a quick story for that. In February 2020, right before the pandemic, I coached a couple that had over $200,000 in a bunch of different student loans. When I calculated their payoff using powerpay.org, I did it by the amount, by the principal for the snowball method. And then just to see what the difference was, I did it by interest rate. And the difference between the two methods, it was only a couple of months and it was within $500 of each other. So it doesn't really make a difference in that regard. But the difference comes with how fast you can pay off some debts and get wins. And then you have larger amount of money going towards the larger debts later on in the snowball. So this is about a year later, and they had over $200,000 in loans then. And now they have underneath $80,000 in loans now. And they attribute most of this to being able to knock out small loans and to create that momentum going forward. Again, this is behavior. This is not only math. This is behavior. So they were able to behave in a way once they started knocking out debt that they could see the progress. They could see the abs in the mirror and they could continue working on their debt. I believe they're going to be debt-free this year. And hopefully when they are, I can have them on the podcast to kind of share their story. So while we're paying off debt, I don't want you to go further into debt, right? I can't get you out of a hole if you're digging out of the bottom. This is why you have the Helmet Emergency Fund and Money Marching Order number 2 for your largest deductible. This is why I want you to cut up your credit cards and not use them. And this is why I want you to stay out of payday loan shops. This is why I want you to stay out of car dealerships. I want you to stay out of lending institutions that will get you further into debt. And I definitely don't want you buying a house right now. Definitely not. This is not the time to buy a house when you only have like $1,000 or $2,000 in the bank and a bunch of debt to clean up. So definitely not buying a house right now. But the Helmet Emergency Fund will allow you to take care of small emergencies while paying off your debt. And it's going to prevent you from going further into debt, because if you didn't have the emergency fund to begin with, if you needed tires, if you needed a new transmission, you were going to put it on a credit card. Well, now you have some money to go towards that, so you're not going into debt for it. And remember, if you have an event and you have to withdraw money from your Helmet Emergency Fund, pause your debt payoff plan and take that cash flow that you're using for debt and replenish your emergency fund as fast as you can, back up to the proper amount that you had before. If something happens, you have to pull money out of your emergency fund, replenish it as fast as you can, pause your debt payoff and just replenish it. After it's replenished, go back in your debt snowball just like you did before. Again, this debt-free mentality is a whole paradigm shift for most people. Most people didn't grow up like this. I know I grew up thinking that car payments were normal and there was nothing wrong with having them, but every dollar that goes towards something can't go towards something else. So every dollar you're putting towards your car payment every month, that's a dollar that can't go towards investing. That's a dollar that can't go towards savings. That's a dollar that can't go towards the house. So once you commit to getting out of debt, I need you to commit to stay out of debt. You will look at the world much differently. You will have different priorities with your finances. You will have different priorities with your purchases, and you will start winning finally in your relationship with money. And if you start living debt-free or paying off debt, and you get people around you to start listening to the money marching order, and it becomes a community thing, then you start winning as a community. You start kind of competing with each other, paying off debt, talking about how much, you know, you've saved or how much debt you've paid off or how quickly you're going to get out of debt. And this starts to grow in the military community. We start having these conversations in the open about finances, about financial literacy education, and we go forward. So that's the debt portion of money marching order number 3. So on to the BRS match, the blended retirement system match. Again, if you're listening to this and you're not getting your 5% match because you're in the legacy high 3 retirement system, you're not going to turn on your 5% TSP contribution. So this is where the money marching order varies from some of the other plans out there, because this program is specifically for military service personnel. If you are in the new blended retirement system, I want you to go into MyPay and turn on your 5% contribution into your Roth TSP. Your Roth TSP is after-tax dollars that is going to grow tax-free, and you're going to be able to withdraw it tax-free after 59 and a half. This 5% contribution into your Roth will trigger a 5% match from the government. The matching portion of the TSP can only be pre-tax dollars and will be deposited into your traditional portion of your TSP. So your contributions will go into your Roth, which is after-tax, growing tax-free, and the government's 5% match will go into your traditional TSP, which is pre-tax, and the growth is taxed when you withdraw it in retirement. So why am I having you do this when I believe so much in the Ramsey Baby Steps and other programs out there? Is because I want you to turn this on, because as soldiers, as military personnel, you are pawns of the government. We serve our nation against enemies foreign and domestic. They say go, we say how high. But when you get injured and have to be medically separated, when you decide to exit the military, either in transition or retire, the military's done with you. They are done. And you have to reinvent yourself in the civilian marketplace, which sometimes is a much harder than people make it out to be. It's not like your job directly transfers over to a civilian job. There are some jobs in the military that do that, but oftentimes you're on your own in the job hunt. You're on your own transitioning out, reinventing yourself. So while you're in the military, you need to take advantage of the benefits that are there. Because when you get out, the government is done with you and you have to figure it out on your own. So while you're in, I want you to take advantage of all the benefits that you can. And getting this 5% match is very important for that, right? So we're building that retirement account foundation by getting this 5% match. You put in 5% and the government matches that 5%. That's 100% return on your money, right? So with that compounded interest over time, that money is going to grow substantially. When you turn on your contributions, though, you have to go into the TSP website, go on there, figure out your login, and tell the site how you want your contributions split up between the different funds. Please, when you start doing this, stay out of the life cycle funds. These are the funds with a target retirement date, you know, like 2000 or 2050, 2060, 2070. These funds are underperformers big time. They are overly conservative than you should be, especially if you're young. And probably the biggest one that people do because they don't realize they're even doing it. They just turn on their contributions and leave it alone is the G fund. Stay out of the G fund. The G fund is largely bonds, which have averaged about 3% over the lifetime of the fund, which is just about the rate of inflation. So not even beating inflation. This is where your money automatically goes if you just turn on your contributions and you don't tell the website where to put your money. So again, turning on in MyPay, then you have to go over to the TSP website, which is much more user-friendly now. And when you tell it where to put your money, I want you to go with three different stocks. And these are basically indexes. So the first one is the C fund. C as in Charlie. And this is your common stock index. The second one is your S fund. S as in Sierra. This is your small cap index fund. And then lastly, your I as in India. Your I fund, which is your international fund. So these three are your going to be your main money makers. And the split I want you to do within these is at least 70% in the C, 20% in the S, and 10% in the I. Again, that's 70 in the C, 20 in the S, and 10 in the I. If you do this, this will put you light years ahead of your peers that just go into the G fund and stay there for their career. There are different Facebook groups out there too that you can join about the TSP to learn more. And the TSP is doing a much better job of putting out educational classes and webinars about the TSP and the different options you have. So turn on your 5% match into the Roth, split it up on the TSP website between the C, the S, and the I based on a 70 C, 20 S, and 10 I contribution. And for some reason, if you've been putting money in there all along and it's all sitting in the G fund, you can do an intra-fund transfer and you can transfer it over to the appropriate funds. Again, stay away from the target retirement date funds and stay away from the G fund. So in summary, for this episode, money marching order number 3 is debt assault and blended retirement system match. List all your debts, smallest to largest, putting any extra money on the smallest debt while paying minimums on the rest. And then you roll that payment over to the next debt after the smallest one's paid off. And then roll over to the next debt when that debt's paid off, so on and so forth. The second part, the blended retirement system match. Again, put on a maximum right now of 5% and split it up 70C, 20S, 10I. So if you're just tuning in now for this episode and you're wondering what you missed in the previous episodes, go back and listen to the other episodes. These are cumulative right now. So start with episode number 1. It'll cover money marching order number 1 along with the other money marching order steps so you can see the big picture. And then the episodes will go into each money marching order individually. Again, this episode covered money marching order number 3. And our next episode will be another snippet from my interview with Brian Brantley, who's now a active duty Army officer, but prior he was a financial advisor. Him and I are going to talk a little bit more about the different types of debt and the tips to stay away from bad debt, and then what other traps are out there for consumers. Thanks for tuning in, guys. And until next time, this is Tim, your host with Leading With Sense. Oh, yeah.